Duncan had it. They turned it over. Alley-oop back to Kevin.
Oh, baby! Woo! KD!
You can see it coming, and the building is electric off that slam dunk.
Welcome back to the A Wolf Among Wolves podcast, part of the A Wolf Among Wolves podcast network on awolfamongwolves.com. I'm your host, Brendan Hedke, and today I am joined by Logan Alton to get our reactions for the NBA draft. Logan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing a lot less nervous and anxious than I was before the draft.
Yeah, totally. I didn't know what... The whole day was like... It was like 40 hours long. I could not think of anything else. I was constantly refreshing Twitter. It was ridiculous. But it is over. Well, it's not over. They're still going. But I'm assuming the Wolves are done if the media availability is going on. So I felt like it was safe to hop on and talk about it. But I think we're just going to get general reactions. And I think I just want to go from like each move that was made and just kind of work our way through the night. So, obviously, with the first pick, the Timberwolves did select Anthony Edwards. And if we go back and look at our big boards that we did, he graded out to be my second prospect. And what was he in your board? Eighth, I believe?
Eight, yep.
So, how are you feeling about drafting Anthony Edwards at number one?
I wasn't a crazy fan of it at first. I thought LaMelo was the guy. But once we started making other moves, it made a lot more sense. And I'm not too upset, all things considered, now.
Yeah, and I wanted LaMelo too, but I do like Anthony Edwards. Obviously, he was my second prospect on the board. I wasn't surprised at all by the pick. And yeah, I think it's a solid pick. I think it's a really... Obviously, Gerson Rosas thinks he's the best player available, and he said that in his media availability I saw before we hopped on, said he was head and shoulders above the rest of the draft, and it wasn't for fit at all. They just thought he was far and beyond the best player, so they took him. I'm gonna trust Rosas. Hopefully he made the right choice there. Where do you think he fits in day one with the Timberwolves? Do you see him starting at the two or the three, or coming off the bench, or where do you think he kind of falls into the Timberwolves lineup going into the season?
See, I have no idea what that starting wing/guard rotation is going to be. You could start Rubio and D'Angelo Russell. You could bring Rubio off the bench. You could start Beasley, Okogie, Culver, Edwards, Noel. Just kidding, that might be ambitious.
Okay, that's a bit ambitious, but realistically, what we know that Kat's going to start, and we know that D'Lo's going to start. And outside of that, we have no freaking clue what's going to go on. Like, we have
exactly,
no idea.
Exactly, yeah.
And we don't
McDaniels could even start, even though I'm getting ahead of myself. Wancho could. It's just Vanderbilt could.
Beasley could start. Beasley could not even be with the team. Beasley could come off the bench. We just have no idea what the team is even going to look like. I don't think they're done making trades either, just because we have so many, like, two guards. I mean, you have Culver, Okogie. You drafted Edwards, and now you are thinking about bringing back Malik Beasley, though as of time of recording, he has not been extended his qualifying offer, it looks like. So it'll be interesting to see if the Timberwolves do extend that to him. But there's just a lot of guards, not even like wings, like two guards on this team. And it's interesting to see if Rosas is going to push Saunders to run a couple two guards and not really have a small forward, or if he thinks like Culver and Okogie can be that three for this team, or what his vision is for this squad. But I wouldn't be surprised if one of Okogie or Culver is traded, and if Beasley's not brought back. This is the least confident I've been about Beasley being back on the team now.
Yeah, same. Especially with the next pick that we made too.
Yep, and we'll talk about that in a bit. But I just want to talk about Edwards. Obviously, Edwards, a lot of people's number one guy in this draft. Super athletic kid. Projects to hopefully be a good scorer. Maybe inefficient, but he gets shots well. He can create shots for himself. And yeah, like I said, freakishly athletic. And there was an article about him that came out, and people were kind of questioning his overall, like, desire to be a basketball player, which I felt was kind of unfair, and I kind of questioned it at the beginning too, to be honest. But after I read that article, he's a kid you just got to root for. I'm not sure if you read that article on ESPN, but he's had a tough time losing his mother and his grandmother all within like 1 year, and just tough for the kid. And you just root for people like that who have still strive to do big things when facing adversity. So I'm excited to see what he brings. Obviously, I'm going to be rooting for him. I wouldn't completely rule out him being traded, but I definitely think picking him says that we're not going to trade him more than picking Wiseman or Ball would have.
Yeah, and I didn't read the full article, but I saw the like clip that was going around, and kind of saw it. I think it was Dane Moore kind of pointing to it being not the greatest journalism and being more so on the writer of the article than Anthony Edwards just saying something wild.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for that to be brought up at least like twice a month and saying, what the heck did the Wolves do?
Yeah. And I read the whole thing, and I kind of agreed with Dane there. The author or the writer didn't really... I feel like he took a bad approach specifically with that part of the article. The rest of it was really good. I thought it was really well written, but that specific part just kind of seemed a bit unfair. But at the end of the day, there still can be questions about it, don't get me wrong, but I don't think you're just going to go out and say this guy doesn't like playing basketball. There's other people that don't really watch basketball. Heck, I think Jimmy Butler doesn't really watch basketball outside of film. And he's one of the top 15, top 10 players in the league, so... I'm not going to judge him until I see his on-court product, and that's kind of where I'm at with him. Would I rather have had Ball? Yeah, because I think he would elevate the game of Cat and D'Lo, but I got even more okay with the Edwards pick when a certain trade went down. And that trade, what, do we know the full details of that trade yet?
No, but you can reasonably assume.
Yeah, I mean, we're assuming it's James Johnson to match that salary for Ricky Rubio, but we don't know that for certain.
Yeah.
But I'd venture to guess that's it, unless it's some weird combination of, like, Culver. I don't know, Culver or Kogi. Yeah, like, I just don't think that it's realistic for it to be anything other than James Johnson. But I wouldn't mind if like Evans or Spellman was thrown in there just to, so the Wolves aren't bringing in more salary, but actually sending out a bit more salary. And then obviously the other part of that trade was, OKC got pick 17 and the Wolves got 25 and 28, I believe.
Yeah.
So yeah, what are your thoughts? Ricky Rubio, Minnesota Timberwolf once again, 3 years later.
Dude, I was stoked.
I think a lot of Minnesota fans were.
I'm worried about Jordan McLaughlin being back. But other than that, I'm pretty happy with the deal.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I love Jordan McLaughlin. I hope he comes back. The Timberwolves didn't necessarily draft a third point guard for this season, so I can see Jordan McLaughlin being back. But at the end of the day, if it's going to cost more than like a minimum contract, they're probably just going to look at other options and bringing him back. And I think that's totally okay.
Yeah, I hope that it's, you know, it'd suck for him because he deserves more. But if they got him on like a Lou Dort type deal, that would just be amazing.
Yeah, and even like a Naz Reid type contract where it's just, you know, 4 years non-guaranteed except for like the first year and, you know, a couple million dollars. I wouldn't be mad at something like that. A pretty team-friendly contract. But if it's too big with a team so close to the cap or the tax line, I just don't foresee him coming back if he's if he has a market higher than a minimum contract or something similar.
Yeah.
But so going back to Ricky Rubio, though. So Ricky Rubio obviously was a Minnesota Timberwolf. He was drafted by the Wolves in 2009, but it took him 2 or 3 seasons to come over from Spain. And he's beloved by many Timberwolves fans.
Especially Jordan Taylor.
Especially.
If you guys follow him, tell him your favorite things about Ricky Rubio.
Yeah, Jordan Taylor loves Ricky Rubio. Former Jordan Taylor played at the University of Wisconsin. He's from Minnesota. He hosts the Role Player podcast on the Wolf Among Wolves podcast network. And he just, he doesn't see it with Ricky Rubio. He's not really sure why people love Ricky Rubio so much as like a guy and why we're so infatuated with him. So we had a conversation about that, and he could potentially be coming on here to talk with a couple of us about Ricky Rubio someday. But regardless, he didn't say it was a bad trade by any means. He's just saying the infatuation with Ricky Rubio is a little interesting, which I can see from a perspective of someone who doesn't really love Rubio, maybe why people love him. But I just think from everything I've seen and heard, like, Ricky's just a really good dude. And it's, like, hard to root against a guy like that. But the big thing on-court-wise with Rubio, I think he provides some solid defense next to someone like D'Angelo Russell if they run a two-guard lineup. I don't know if Rubio will start, if he'll come off the bench. I mean, we don't know what the team's going to look like going into Game 1, December 22nd or 3rd or 4th or whatever day the Wolves will have their first game. But he's going to bring some playmaking. He played with Karl-Anthony Towns his first 2 years in Minnesota. I like the fit offensively and defensively. What do you think about Rubio back on the Wolves, Logan?
Yeah, as you said, it's a great fit defensively, good fit offensively, and like you could have done a lot worse. Putting all the Rubio love aside, I would have preferred getting Kelly Oubre in the trade.
Yep.
But I can sell for Rubio pretty happily.
Yeah, and I think it's fair, too. I like Kelly Oubre. I would like the idea of Oubre playing for us on the wing here, too. But I knew we would come out of this offseason with another point guard that would be rotation-worthy, and it's Rubio, and I'm totally okay with that. People kind of talked about it kind of as a pipe dream before, like when Rubio got traded to the Suns in the Chris Paul trade. People are like, oh, like, let's bring Rubio back, but nobody necessarily thought it was a super realistic option. But at the end of the day, that's Ryan Saunders' guy. He really likes him. They have a good relationship. And Rubio, I believe, has a good relationship with Kat from their 2 years together. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a fun – I mean, the team's going to have some offensive firepower, and now you have some playmaking in Rubio that can take a little bit of the load off D'Angelo Russell. I think it's a good fit on court. I think it's going to be good off court to have a veteran presence, someone who necessarily hasn't been there before, because I don't know if Rubio's ever he did make the playoffs with the Jazz, but other than that, he doesn't have a ton of playoff experience, but he's just been around the league for, you know, a good 8, 9, 10 years now. And
he was a pro before that, too.
What was that?
And he was a pro before coming over to the NBA, too.
Right. Like, he's been playing pro ball since he was, like, 14 or 16 or something ridiculous. Like, he's just an experienced player. And he dealt with a lot of injuries when he was on the Wolves, but hopefully he's healthy now. He seemed to be pretty healthy since leaving the Wolves. And just looking at, like, on court with Devin Booker, I mean, Rubio made Devin Booker look really, really good last year. Like, really, really solid when they shared the floor. I think it was Dane Moore had tweeted out. I'm trying to find it here quick. So Devin Booker, they had a plus 6.3 net rating when Booker and Rubio were both on the floor. But when Booker was on and Rubio was off, it was negative 6.3. So you're talking about like a 12, 13 point swing just for having Rubio on the floor. And obviously it's a little subjective with who else is on the court. But it does ring true that like Devin Booker's not necessarily a good defensive player. He's better than D'Angelo Russell on that end. But I think Rubio's just going to help on both ends of the floor, especially D'Angelo Russell. But he's going to help Kat a lot on offense too.
Yeah, he's such a floor raiser. Like, just in general, like, you look not just Devin Booker, but the entire Suns team. Like, just having him on the team and having him on the floor was such a dramatic difference from what they were last year, or the season prior, or what they were when he was injured. And, like, they were a good team to start out the year. And once Ricky went down, once some of the other people went down, they just completely fell apart.
Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, Ricky Rubio, contract situation, I'm not going to say he's on a good contract. He is overpaid. He makes $17 million a season over the next 2 years. But I think he raises the ceiling of this team. And at the end of the day, you have him for this season. Going into next offseason, he is an expiring contract that could potentially be included in a trade for a better player. And I think that at the end of the day, that's something that you kind of like to see as a Timberwolves fan. I don't know if there's going to be many big stars moving this this season at the trade deadline. Maybe if things don't work out in like Philly, Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid could be on the move. If the Wizards aren't working out, possibly Bradley Beal. But I think that most of that type of stuff, if it happens, would happen after this season. And Rubio could fill us, you know, make up some of that money there. So if you throw in like Edwards' contract with Rubio, that's about $27 million. And right there you have a lower tier max contract that you could match. So it makes some sense that way too, because Johnson is expiring this year. Timberwolves aren't going to sign any big name players anyways. So cap space wise, don't think it's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, the best they're going to do is a mid-level player, or mid-level exception type player, and that's what we can afford anyways.
Exactly, and I a big-name star probably likely isn't going to come to Minnesota unless Kat and D'Lo prove to be a really, really good duo that is, like, certain to win a championship if, like, another third guy comes in, and I don't think they're necessarily going to be that. Would I love them to be? Of course. But I just don't necessarily see that happening. And then somebody wanting to sign here. So at the end of the day, overall, I'll grade that move. Let's go back. I'm going to grade the Anthony Edwards draft selection. I'm going to grade it as an A- now that the Rubio trade happened. Before that, I would probably give it a B+. But I'm going to give it an A- now knowing that Rubio is coming to the team. What are your grades for both those moves?
Pre-Rubio trade, the Edwards draft probably got a C. Post-Rubio, it's probably a B+, A-.
So he makes that big a difference for you, huh?
Yeah. The context of getting someone else in that role, like, and that's why we passed on Ball, helps right. a ton. And then the Rubio trade itself, are we counting the next trade as part of that Rubio trade?
Let's not yet. Just bringing Rubio back in general. Don't think about what happened after the fact. And we don't know all the details. We don't know all the details either, so it's kind of hard to trade. But like, just assume it's James Johnson and nothing else. James Johnson and the picks. What's your thoughts?
I would give that about a plus.
Yeah, I think I would give it an A-, A+. Or not A+, A- or an A. I think it's a good move. I don't think it's necessarily going to raise our ceiling a ton, but it's going to raise our floor a lot, which is important in such a tough Western Conference. So yeah, I am pretty happy with that. And just quick note, Logan, Jay Scrubb went to the Clippers at pick. I don't know what pick he went to, but he's going to the Clippers. So there you go.
Good for him.
But anyways, yeah.
Just kidding. We don't have the roster spot for him.
But anyways, so yeah, let's talk about the next move. So the Timberwolves got picks 25 and 28 in the Ricky Rubio trade. And then they decided, before pick 25 got there, they decided to trade. Was it? Yeah. They decided to trade 25 and 33 to move up to 23. So they jumped up two spots and gave up their second round pick, which I hate the move. I don't necessarily not like Balmero as a prospect. I think he's going to be a draft and stash guy. I don't know if that's a certainty, but I think that's what, I mean, that's been the consensus, basically.
He's said that he's staying over seas for a year, no matter what.
Right. Okay. So he won't be here for a season, which is okay. Contract situation wise, you know, that's less money off the books. I just don't see why the Wolves gave up 33 to move up to get him. Were they that scared?
Before this.
What?
Before we dive into that, do you know what the Knicks gave up to get that pick?
Yeah, it was like 27 and 35 or something like that. 28, I don't know.
27 and 38.
It's 27 and 38, yeah. So the Timberwolves basically, I mean, the Knicks made out good on that because they improved, two spots and then five spots. So they gained a total of seven draft positions just by flipping those picks. So shout out to the Knicks for that one. That's some competency in their front office. But from Wolves' perspective, were they that scared the Balmero was going to be taken before 25?
They had to have known that someone was locking in on him.
Yeah, whoever was picking at 24, I don't remember who picked at 24. The Wolves must have been like scared that Balmero would be gone. And I don't necessarily see, I mean, I see the upside with Balmero. He's 6'7", and he can play like a point forward role. Some people list him as a point guard. Some list him as a small forward or a shooting guard. He's an interesting prospect. I like him. I just don't like giving up pick 33 to move up two spots and get him. If he was gone, I would have been fine drafting somebody else and just moving on. I saw a report maybe that, I'm blanking on his name now. Pablo Prigioni, the Wolves assistant coach, was pushing for Balmero, and maybe that is true. But I can't get behind that trade. It's tough for me.
Yeah, neither can I. I have to assume that there's something else at play. But we'll see in the next couple of days in free agency, though, kind of explain everything.
Yeah, maybe. These are initial rapid fire, just like quick reactions to the draft. You know, like the draft, it's not even over yet, and we're reacting to everything. We don't even know the details of everything that shook out. But just in a vacuum, I don't like that trade.
Same.
I mean, losing, I wouldn't have
so many helpful guys that would have still been on the board. Like, Tyler May, who would be perfect for our front court, would have been there at 33.
Right, or you mean you could have got a Paul Reed. Did Paul Reed even get drafted? I don't even know. I haven't paid attention.
No, he could be the next Reed that is a total undrafted free agency robbery.
There we go. Spelt different, but, I mean, there you go. But realistically, like, I just don't get it. 33 is like a good – that's like a valuable pick when you think about – getting a guy on a non-guaranteed contract, cheap. There's no rookie-scale contracts for second-round picks, so you have full control over what you're offering them in a contract. I really wish they wouldn't have made that trade and just picked up somebody else if Balmero was taken at 23 or 24, just pick somebody else at 25. But I hope Balmero works out when he comes over. I've heard good things. A lot of people who are really smart with the draft are high on him. But at the end of the day, that it still just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, too. I don't know a lot about him, but the things I've primarily seen about him was that his best skill was that he could be a stashable guy. His next best skill is his playmaking. And, that's good, but it might be. You can never have too much playmaking. And he's the guy that likes to push in transition, but with Rubio and D'Lo and all them on the team, it might be a little redundant.
Right. Yeah, and I totally agree with you there. I've heard good things about his defense as well, which is encouraging. He's playing in the second best basketball league in the world. Outside of the NBA, it's the next best. So that's encouraging as well. But at the end of the day, like I said, just giving up 33 just didn't make a lot of sense to me. But yeah, that's my thoughts on that. I don't like that. I don't mind the pick. I don't like the trade. So that was pick number 23. And then we move on to pick 28, where the Minnesota Timberwolves selected Jaden McDaniels from Washington, a forward. I love the pick.
What do you think? That's a great blend of filling a need and getting upside. If it all works out and he puts all of his games together, he'd be a really nice fit next to Kat and for what the team needs. And son of a gun, Paul Reed got taken.
Did he? At 60 or what?
Last pick? No, 59?
59 was Jalen Harris for Toronto, so it must have been 60. Pick, yeah. Who got him?
And I believe, does Milwaukee have that pick?
I don't remember. Dang, that sucks. I was hoping to get him in undrafted free agency. No, it says Sam Merrill got picked at 60 to Milwaukee. Where did Reggie Perry went 57?
56.
I don't see him.
No, that's what my TV is saying, at least.
Weird.
Oh, 58.
58, huh. Interesting. I would like Paul Reed. I would have liked him in undrafted free agency, but.
And the Sixers got so good.
Oh, I guess I didn't get a notification about 58. That's why I didn't see that. I got 57 and then 59. But anyways, back to Jaden McDaniels. So Jaden McDaniels, super raw, right? I mean, just a super raw prospect. Pretty skinny. He's 6'10". People label him as a small forward / power forward. Obviously in the Wolves he'd be playing power forward, but yeah, doesn't have a lot of strength there, but projects to be a solid shooter. His shot looks good. Percentage wise wasn't the best in his lone freshman season at Washington, but I think he'll be a stretch four that'll work out nicely, and I think he's got some defensive tools and some defensive upside if he harnesses all that in, puts a little muscle on. He's like the mold of the perfect person you could put next to Kat, I think. So you just bet on that working out and try and develop him. Is he a guy you see being in the G League to start next season? Or what's your thoughts on where he's going to be at the start of the year?
So I have this bonkers conspiracy theory that there's a power forward out there that the Wolves are going to grab. And free agent, they either know that like a free agent's coming, or they know that a trade is happening, because they did not really touch their forward rotation despite having 1,000 wings and guards.
Right, I agree with that.
So
I don't know who that guy is.
Derek Jones Jr. would be pretty ideal,
or a Chris Boucher or someone.
Yeah,
and I could definitely see that. And you bring in a guy and hope that McDaniels can be your bench power forward, maybe not this year, maybe partway through the season, however that all shakes out. Or maybe maybe they really like Jared Vanderbilt. Maybe they like Jared Vanderbilt more than we think they do. And that's possible. He has tools that people could like. Or maybe they're still high on Wancho. They bring Wancho back for a few million bucks and they're happy with it. I'm not sure. But at the end of the day, I like the McDaniels pick. I think if he turns out, he could definitely become who the Timberwolves need next to Karl-Anthony Towns. But he's raw. He's foul-prone. And it's going to take some work. I mean, I'm not going to say he's going to be that guy anytime soon. But maybe Iowa's look good developing people. I mean, you look at Naz Reid, Keelan Martin, Jordan McLaughlin. Like, those guys came to the NBA level and contributed. If they can develop McDaniels in Iowa, I like what they got going on down there. I like the staff. I like the progress they've shown with a lot of guys. So if Jaden McDaniels can go down there and develop into the starting power forward, I think that would be ideal. But it's not going to be a day one thing, I don't think. He maybe doesn't go to Iowa, but I don't think he's the starter game one, unless he really impresses in camp or something.
Yeah, and I'm in the same boat. If the Timberwolves don't make any signings, it's probably going to be Wancho starting with Jake Layman getting some backup minutes, and then Vanderbilt and McDaniels fighting for the remaining minutes.
Right.
But I'm excited to see Vanderbilt and McDaniels go against each other in practice and earn a bigger role against each other.
Yeah, for sure. And I like this pick. What would you what grade would you give this pick?
A.
I'd go A plus. I love it. I mean this is the type of move. And yeah, maybe it doesn't pan out, but this is the type of move you have to do. You bet on a guy that has upside. I mean, this guy was a top, like, 5 player coming out of high school. Just, like, a really highly recruited guy. And kind of fell down some boards, and you bet on people like that. That's kind of my philosophy with, like, Cole Anthony and RJ Hampton as well. Like, those guys are worth it in the 20s to take a shot on. So I love this, and it fills a need if it works out. And that's what I like the most about it. I'm not certain it's going to work out, but I like the move. I like the aggressiveness to get a guy that's slipping down from maybe where some people think he should have been taken. Yeah, I like him. I like Jaden McDaniels. It is Jaden, right? His brother's Jalen?
Yeah, his brother's Jaden.
Yeah, okay, and this one's Jaden. He's projects to be a much better player than his brother is. I don't know. I like the pick. Oh. I really do.
What do you give the trade for Bolmaro and Bolmaro himself?
Bolmaro himself as drafting Bolmaro, I would probably give it a B or B minus. I don't mind the pick at all. The trade, I'm going to give it a D, maybe a D minus. Like, I hate that. I hate that move. But then again, it is made by somebody who's a lot smarter than me, who knows a lot more, has more intel on all these guys, and knows what they're planning on doing in free agency. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm going to question it still, because I think it's always fair to question people. Like, the honeymoon phase is over with Rosas. I'm not going to blindly trust whatever he does, but I will put in more trust, but still, I'm going to say like a D on that. What are your grades for those?
For the trade, it's an F.
You put an F?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was really tempted to give it an F, but...
Just considering what New York gave up to get it, and then the Wolves giving up significantly more for that, and then it only being 2 spots... And all the guys that were still on the board, I can't get behind it.
Yeah, like, I was hoping we could, like, repackage, like, 25 and 28 and maybe move up into, like, the late teens. You know, like, 17, not 17 because we traded that away, but, like, 16 or 18 or 19 to get a guy that was taken up there. But at the end of the day, yeah, it just didn't pan out that way. Not the end of the world, but I don't like the trade. But then again, bringing in 4 rookies too. I mean, do we have the roster space for that? I don't know. I don't even know who's on this roster anymore. We don't know who got traded in the James Johnson trade. But we have a lot of guards. That's all I gotta say. And that was another guard that came in. And that's kind of why I questioned the move also. That
either don't shoot or don't defend.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And that's, I mean, none of those guys do both. We don't have a single guard in this team that shoots and defends, except for possibly Anthony Edwards. We have to see. Jury's still out on that. But D'Lo can shoot, can't defend. Rubio can defend. Not a great shooter. He's an okay shooter. Okogie can't shoot. Really good defender. Culver can't shoot. Okay defender. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Jalen Noel can shoot, not a good defender.
Yep. Yeah. So
McLaughlin,
Keelan Martin,
not a good defender.
Keelan Martin's more of a forward, but I mean, he can shoot. Can he defend? Maybe a little bit.
I like Martin's defense more than his shooting.
Oh, really? You like his defense more than his shooting? I'm the other way, but yeah, I don't know. The trade, I don't like the trade. I don't mind the pick, don't like the trade. And I think that's a lot of people's view on it.
Yeah, and I was saying beforehand that, like, Bolmaro makes sense as a draft pick for the Wolves, considering that they have all this roster space and all these picks, but I didn't expect it to be that high and that weird of a situation. But ultimately, I'd give drafting him a B minus.
Yep. Yeah. And what did I say? I'd give it like a B or a B minus or a B plus or something. I don't mind him at all. I just don't like that trade. So Jake Painting just retweeted something, that I wanted to run through, 'cause I was going to look for this anyways, but, the best available undrafted free agents. I want the Wolves to, I mean, the Wolves are likely going to look at picking somebody like this up. They picked up Naz Reid in undrafted free agency last year, but here's the list. This is one specific person's, top guys left from his big board. Killian Tilly went undrafted tonight. A lot of injury issues, but a super promising player. If you can get him on a Gupta special, I'd do it. Nate Hinton, Devin Dotson, your guy Mason Jones went undrafted tonight. I don't know exactly how to say this guy's name. Ndoye, yeah, is that how you say it? He did not get drafted.
I have no idea.
Najee Marshall, Tyshawn Alexander, Lamine Diane, Trace Tinkle, Caleb Wesson, Josh Hall, Trent Forrest, Miles Powell. Yeah, Mason Jones didn't get drafted. Killian Tilly, nobody wanted to take a flyer on Tilly or Jones in the second round. It's really surprising to me. Go get somebody, Rosas. Go get Tilly. See, Tilly, if he's healthy, could be a really nice power forward for this team.
Yeah, I would love getting Tilly. Come in and honestly compete for a starting spot potentially, or for like rotation minutes at least.
Yeah. No, I would go and get one of these guys. I really think that you can find value in undrafted free agency. We saw that last season. There's options out there, and I'm sure the Wolves are exploring those options. But then again, you got to look how much roster space we have too. We don't know how much it is, and maybe you just don't have room to bring somebody in, which is a fair argument as well. But yeah, overall, I want to talk overall draft grade, draft night. Let's say draft night grade because of everything that transpired. What are you giving it?
Would saying that it's an incomplete is a cop out?
No, and that yeah, but give me like just super, super pre seeing anybody on the court, anything. What would you give it based off of like your big board and everything there?
I'd probably give it an A, all things considered.
I think I would give it a B plus or an A minus, simply because it knocks down for that trade, man. That trade really knocks it down for me. But I'm warmed up to Anthony Edwards being on the team. Ricky Rubio back, good. I like it. I'm going to go through something quick, too. I just wanted to mention this. We talked about Anthony Edwards was my second-ranked prospect, your eighth. I just wanted to see where everybody was at. Jaden McDaniels was your 37th ranked prospect, my 24th ranked prospect, and Bolmaro was my 34th and your 32nd. So those are the three rookies.
We were way off.
What?
We were way off.
Oh, our board looks terrible.
Apparently I was.
Our board looks pretty bad. We had Tyrell Terry going 13th. He fell all the way to second round or end of the first
31.
Round? 31. Start of the second round. Grant Riller fell to the second round. Trey Jones fell really far down. He was 21st on our board. A lot of things transpired that we necessarily didn't think would. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, big boards are so subjective. But I just want to throw out where those guys were ranked on ours. Overall, Anything else you want to touch on?
Let's say the Wolves never made the OKC trade, right? And how would you have felt about Edwards 1, Jaden McDaniels 17, and Bolmaro 33? Would that have made you feel a little bit better?
I don't know, because McDaniels at 17 is kind of a stretch for me, kind of a reach. But I don't know. I would like to crunch the contract numbers, too, and see, like, if they saved money by picking at 23 and 28, or if they are spending more than picking at 17 and 33. It'd just be interesting to see the contract situation there.
It's going to be marginally cheaper, at probably like $1 million-ish at most.
Yeah.
And then Bolmaro not coming over till next year will probably be another nice piece of savings.
Yeah. But we also brought in an extra $1 million with Rubio if there's nothing attached with James Johnson. So that's another thing to take into consideration. I would say I like that draft less than what the Timberwolves actually did tonight, just because of bringing in Ricky Rubio.
Yeah.
But.
And that's what I was going to get at, that, like, if you take away everything and act like we've never made a trade, or never made a trade, that Bolmaro trade feels a lot
less
significant.
And I had seen people mock McDaniels to us at 17. I'd seen a lot more Achua, or however you say Precious's last name, but I've seen some McDaniels at 17, so to get him at 28, I think it's pretty solid value. I'm pretty happy overall with the draft night. I can't complain about much outside of that draft pick. I'm excited for this coming season. It's going to be here fast. I mean, we have
free agency starting in like 2 days.
Yeah, free agency starts Sunday?
I think so, something like that.
So by the time this podcast is out, Friday or on Thursday, it's gonna be 3 days until free agency starts. I think it's either noon or 6 p.m. I can't remember Eastern time.
Yeah, but tampering isn't the thing, so it probably starts tomorrow.
It started like 2 weeks. It probably started months ago. Free agency has been going on. But I don't know, man. Overall, I'm pretty happy with it. That's pretty much all I have to say.
Yeah, I had a friend that was in the media availability for the draftees, and he got to talk to Jaden McDaniels for a quick second, and the biggest thing that he got from it was that Jaden was stoked to play with D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah, and he should. I mean, you should be with a pretty quality guard. I don't know if he has some sort of relationship with D'Angelo or what, but it's nice to hear guys say they're excited to play with guys. It's like Anthony Edwards as well said he's excited to play with Kat and D'Lo, and he knows he's not coming into the league as a star, so that's encouraging too. I don't remember who said that, if it was Lucas Siakam or who it was, but somebody had in the media availability had tweeted that out. So that's encouraging. I just can't say enough good things. I feel confident in this draft a lot more than I have in years past, so I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, same. Who, aside from the like non-Wolves related, who's your draft night winner?
I don't know. Philly killed it. OKC killed it. Dallas killed it. Those guys killed it, man. I mean, Daryl Morey does what he does. Sam Presti does what he does. And Mark Cuban and those guys in Dallas, they just had a good night too. So those would be my three draft winners. I would also say Charlotte, just getting a top three guy is a win for them. And they didn't really have to.
They got Rillard too, didn't they?
What?
I'm pretty sure Charlotte got Grant Riller.
Think so. I can't remember for sure, but I think he did. And that's encouraging for them too. Overall, I think they're the biggest draft night winners, those three teams. Who would be your draft night losers?
Let me quickly look.
Yeah, I'm going to pull them up as well. But I have one team in mind that I think would be fair to call a draft night loser. And
Boston.
Boston? You think Boston is?
Interesting. Their picks were just bizarre.
Yeah, Peyton Pritchard didn't make a lot of sense to me. I get the Aaron Nesmith thing. You weren't getting a big at that point unless you reached for one. So I was okay with them drafting Nesmith at 14. Pritchard at 26. A little interesting with a lot of other guards that I think would fit better there. And then what else did Boston do? Because they traded 30.
I think they traded back or something like that. They and got
Yam Madar at 47, I see. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not too impressed with that draft. It is what it is for them. But they didn't really come out with a big. I mean, I don't know who Yam Madar is, to be honest with you. But at 47, I don't think he's going to be impactful, even if he is a center.
He's a guard.
He is a guard, okay. I mean, getting Desmond Bane, or no, he went to the Grizzlies, so they didn't even get Desmond Bane. Wow.
The Grizzlies are another winner. They got Bane at 30 and Tillman late in the second.
And Robert Woodard at 40, which I think is a solid pick as well. 76ers, they drafted Tyler Bay at 36. He got traded to the Mavericks, though. Never mind. Yeah.
The Mavericks came out. I'm holding that one against them.
The Mavericks came out good. Spurs came out good too. Oh, my loser is Phoenix. They took
I wanted to do that, but Phoenix made me wrong last year, so I'm trusting that Jalen Smith is going to just work.
Yeah, but you could have traded back for him.
Maybe
they couldn't have actually traded back for him, but I feel like you could have traded back to like 15 or 16 and got him.
Yeah.
Oh, and the Pistons getting Isaiah Stewart. I don't necessarily like that at 16 either.
Yeah, same. That was a reach.
Yeah. I don't know.
I was surprised that Daniel Turo was the last like really good center to fall, like get drafted.
I would agree. I was surprised to see Zeke Nnaji go at 22, but I'm happy for him there. Yeah.
Where is he going again?
Denver. So I don't know if they're going to play him at the 4 or the backup 5 or what their plan is, but yeah, that is a. I think that's a good spot for him. I think he might find some playing time there. Was there anybody that fell that you were really surprised about? Not like into the second round, because we've talked about those guys and like that whole group of people, like after the lottery is just like, especially in the 20s and past, is super like fluid, but like a top guy that fell that you were surprised about, or somebody that rose quite a bit that you were surprised about.
Yeah, I mean, Patrick Reed going at 4 was insane.
Patrick Williams?
Patrick Williams, I mean.
Do you remember when we talked back in April or May, and we were talking about hopefully getting Williams at 17?
Yeah.
And he goes at 4. Like, come on. What were we thinking?
The Bulls made up for it. They got Devin Dotson and undrafted free agency.
I did just see that. That's a pretty good one. I mean, contract, it's going to be cheap. Denny falling to 9 kind of surprised me. But I'm not that high on Denny, so I'm okay with it. I like his fit with the Wizards, though. Kira Lewis going at 13, a little surprising just because it was the Pelicans. And they have Lonzo Ball, Eric Bledsoe, George Hill. I just don't know what they're doing with all those guards.
I just assume that they're getting traded, at least 2 of them.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see like Lonzo Ball and George Hill out of there. I could see them keeping Bledsoe and being the guy. But no, at the end of the day, there's some teams that came out really well.
Yeah, I'd say my other big surprise was Tyrese Maxey falling all the way to Philly.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree with that also. Tyrese Maxey was number 5 on your board and number 11 on mine. So I was surprised to see him fall all the way down to a 21 as well. But that's a huge pickup for Philly. Philly did well, too, trading for Seth Curry, I think, just to kind of be their J.J. Redick. Come off screens.
That trade was a little bit of an overpay on their end. I think the picture went the other way. But
I agree.
At the end of the day, they totally morphed their entire rotation.
They knew they needed shooting, and
they have all the shooting that they need now.
Yep, because they got Maxey, who maybe won't be a great shooter, but he should be able to provide some shooting. And then they traded for him as well, Seth Curry. And
Seth Curry, Dan Green, Isaiah Joe.
Tyler Bay.
Nope, that's Dallas.
Oh, that's Dallas. Sorry. Not Theo Maledon. Wow, this thing I'm looking at is just terrible. Yeah, Isaiah Joe was nice.
ESPN didn't update their picks. But yeah, getting all those players for spacing. And even like Tyrese Maxey, they needed a secondary playmaker, and that's going to be Maxey.
The Minnesota Timberwolves just agreed to a two-way deal with Ashton Hagans as we're recording this. So Ashton Hagans is coming. He's a guy that a lot of people are interested in, too.
He's a shooter, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, so I'm going to pull up his stats quick here and just see about Ashton Hagans. I didn't do a lot of research on him because he wasn't in my top. He's from Kentucky, so drafting Kentucky guards, pick Kentucky players, as many say. Let's pull up his stats for this past season. Ashton Hagans shot the ball. Oh, he's not a shooter. 25% from beyond the arc last season.
Why did I think he was a shooter? What am I thinking?
He averaged 11.5 points, 3.9 rebounds, and 6.5 assists a game. So he seems to be an okay playmaker. Good free throw shooter, 81%, but not a good three-point shooter. Interesting. So maybe that's your third point guard, if he.
What do you mean third?
Well, if J-Mac comes back.
Yeah, I'm surprised they went and grabbed a guard.
I'm too. And they might not be done. But, yeah, interesting. Huh, I don't mind that. Go get those guys. Try them out. See what happens. Whatever. Not too impressed by it, but I'm not, like, unimpressed. It's just kind of a whatever move for me. I don't know much about him, so I can't say much good or bad about him. But I'm glad they're active.
Yeah, and that probably kills my dream of grabbing Kenyon Berry or else, what's his face? Lindell Wigginton as our other 2-way guy.
Right. Yeah. Huh. Well, all right. Do you have any other things to say before we hop off here so we can go to bed? It's almost midnight, so.
No, I think that's all I have.
All right. Well, hopefully Anthony Edwards does not get traded overnight or something.
Or he does that for something really fun.
I mean, I wouldn't mind it, but then this podcast would be almost worthless, but I'm sure he's here to stay at least for a while. But yeah, that is my thoughts. If you guys want to tweet anything at us, you can find me on Twitter at @B_AGDTKENBA. And they can find Logan on Twitter at @LALTENNBA. Tweet us your thoughts. Let us know your grades. We'd be more than happy to interact with you on there. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast. Leave a review also. That does help us out a ton. But other than that, thank you guys so much for listening. And we'll catch you guys next time. Thanks, Logan.
Yeah, have a good one.